Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today is not only the weekly Sabbath, it is the last day of unleavened bread, one of the holy days given in the Bible. When originally observed by Israel, Israel was leaving Egypt. Like the journey out of Egypt those many of thousands of years ago, today we find ourselves on our own spiritual journey, a journey where we leave behind the works of the flesh that is rooted in sin as we grow the fruit of the Spirit, coming ever closer to the righteousness of God and our place in the kingdom of God. Thousands of years ago, Israel faced challenges and struggles and came fearfully close to the armies of Egypt that sought to overtake them and bring them back to Egypt. They had to endure a journey that was at times difficult, where it seemed the people would have been willing to abandon God. And yet, eventually, Israel came to the Promised Land. Today, our journey is also at times difficult, and through our life of faith, we probably have all encountered situations where it might have seemed like people were willing to abandon God. And if we endure to the end, we will one day, in the future, arrive in the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns to earth. It took the hand of God to force the Egyptians to let the people of Israel leave. Through a series of plagues, with each plague progressively becoming more intense, until finally the firstborn in Egypt died, God broke the will of the Egyptians to let his people go. And with the plagues coming in succession, it became clear to them that Israel, living in the land of Goshen, was being shown favor by God. When the firstborn of Egypt were killed in the final plague, Israel was spared this death, and they followed the instructions to mark their house so the angel would pass over their house. It was after the death of the firstborn that Moses and Aaron were called by Pharaoh in the middle of the night to tell them the people of Israel could leave and to take their livestock with them. With a sudden widespread loss of life, the Egyptians wanted the people of Israel out as soon as possible because they feared what would come next. Due to the sudden departure from Egypt, bread was taken before it had time to rise. The Egyptians were so terrified, they gave the people of Israel precious metals and jewels along with fine clothing. Anything that was asked of the Egyptians was given to Israel, and they quickly began their journey from Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And the mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The plagues that had gripped and destroyed Egypt stopped after Israel left, and this caused the Egyptians to rethink their strategy to let them go. Throughout all the plagues, When Pharaoh decided to let Israel go, he eventually changed his mind once the plague had passed. Even with the death of the firstborn, reality was sinking in, and all the work done by Israel was no longer being done, and if there was a desire for this work to be done, either the Egyptians or another foreign group would be needed to get the work done. Coupled with the need to get the work of Egypt done was the immediate need to also bury all the bodies of the firstborn among people and animals. With seemingly no more threats of plagues, it was easy for the Egyptians to reconsider what they had done for Israel. Pharaoh changed his mind and took an army of 600 military chariots and every privately owned chariot that could be found with him to overtake Israel and return them to slavery. And finally, nearly caught up with them when they were camping by the sea. Exodus 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, besides Pi Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. The sight of the approaching Egyptian chariots terrified the people of Israel, because they very well knew how their life had been and were scared. They might be severely punished for the sufferings of the Egyptians. Many began to question Moses and told him that it would be better to serve under hardship in Egypt than to be slaughtered in the wilderness. Moses reminded the people that God worked the miracle that brought them from Egypt and reminded them that God would fight this battle for them. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." It was then that God spoke to Moses, telling him to have the people walk towards the sea, to lift up his rod and stretch it out over the sea, and God would divide the waters so the people of Israel could safely walk through on dry ground to the other side. God also told Moses that this would create a trap that would be used to destroy the pursuing Egyptians once Israel was safely on the other shore. Moses did what God told him to do, and overnight, a strong wind caused the waters to divide and dry land to appear. Israel, the people, their possessions, and even their animals were all able to make it safely to the other side on dry ground. And the Egyptians, with the weight of the chariots, sunk into the dirt and were slowed down to the point where it was impossible for them to move. They realized they were in a bad situation and tried to escape. But by this time, Israel was on the other shore, and the waters came crashing down on them, killing them and their horses. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, They shall follow them, and I will give me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." The Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. Eventually, the surging water brought the dead bodies of the Egyptians to shore, and Israel was able to see with their own eyes the miracle of God's protection. This gave them confidence in God and in Moses. Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The confidence of the people of Israel would not last, and decades would pass before they were able to enter the promised land. During the next 40 years, the people would challenge God and act in ways that would seem like they questioned how and if God was present in their lives. Even Moses died. During this time, it seemed like the people wavered between having confidence and trust in God to losing faith. After Moses died, it would be up to Joshua to bring them into the promised land. And Joshua was reminded to be strong and of good courage as they took possession of the promised land. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As we move through the spiritual wilderness that is this world, we look towards God's righteousness and the kingdom of God. And we too must be strong and of good courage, knowing that just like God was able to deliver Israel from the Egyptians, God will deliver us so we can enter the promised land, the kingdom of God. Between now and then, we are aware of prophecies that show us the road ahead will be bumpy and full of risks. We must be strong and of good courage as we are on our journey out of the spiritual wilderness. And unlike Israel in the wilderness, we cannot waver in our confidence and faith in God, who will deliver us according to his plan. We read imagery from Revelation of the beast rising out of the sea. Imagine how frightening it would have been for Israel had the Egyptians risen out of the sea after the waves had come crashing down and continued to pursue them. That is the type of imagery we are given. Unlike Israel that was spared from the pursuing Egyptians, we are told through prophecy of a beast that will rise up and overcome the saints. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We can't tell for sure what happens to the saints. The word overcome means to subdue. And this could mean anything from neutralizing the message of the saints to killing them off, though the indication is at least some will either be enslaved or killed. What we need to consider is that when this time comes in the future, we cannot give up the faith. Much like the prisoner of war who's expected to remain loyal to his home country, during this future time of trouble, we will remain loyal to God, his righteousness, and the kingdom of God. While everyone else is worshiping the beast, we who are of the faith might be seen as outsiders, as a group who no longer fits into society. This same prophecy also reminds us that patience is a virtue. Those who enslave God's people or kill God's people will have these same fates visited upon them. With patience as a virtue, at this future time, enduring to the end, is what all who are of the faith will do. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. With this knowledge that there will come a time when enduring to the end is our pathway to the kingdom of God, will we face that time with confidence and faith in God? Or will we be like Israel thousands of years ago who doubted Moses and God? Beyond this certain future at an unknown date and time is the present understanding that Satan yesterday, today, and tomorrow seeks our destruction. Knowing that Satan seeks our destruction should never cause us to panic. It also should never bring us doubt and should never cause us to lose faith in God. We are told to resist Satan, remaining steadfast in the faith. In the face of death and destruction, we do not and cannot waver in faith, knowing that if we endure to the end, we will enter the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We cannot waver in faith because any weakness of faith becomes a potential foothold for Satan or the agents of Satan to exploit. During the end time, we know there will be false Christs and false prophets who will be so convincing that it would be almost impossible for them to fool people of faith. God's people will not be fooled because people of faith do not waver in faith, which means now is the time to ensure we are strong in faith. God's people will not be fooled by a false Christ because they know when Jesus returns, it will be as easy to see as the rising sun. God's people know the return of Jesus will not be a hidden event, a mysterious event. It will be an event for all to see. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. During this end time, when instead of being killed by the waters of the sea, a beast instead rises from the sea, the people of God will be wary of enticing words designed to challenge and eventually reject faith. The faithful will not leave the faith because of words of flattery. Because we see ourselves as the faithful, we know what is written of the saints during these future events points back to us. Promises that are inconsistent with what is given in the Bible will not give us cause to leave the faith. We will not be fooled by the ideas of man and deceptions linked to the ideas of man. Instead, the people of God are firmly rooted in the faith, and we know when we see the beast rise from the sea, it is because God allows it, and we know, no matter what, we will endure to the end. Colossians 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. People tend to think the book of Revelation foretells of the Antichrist. In reality, the book of Revelation tells of this beast rising up from the sea and a false prophet. The spirit of Antichrist was present thousands of years ago and remains present to this day. During this time of the beast rising from the sea and the false prophet, the spirit of Antichrist will be on display. The spirit of Antichrist is encapsulated in those people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. John tells us this in his first letter, and also tells us that we will overcome all who are of the spirit of Antichrist, because God the Father and Jesus Christ, who are in us through the Holy Spirit, are not going to be defeated. We will overcome the spirit of Antichrist. That's a definitive statement, something that will certainly happen. 1 John 4, verse 1. Behold, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, and we know we will overcome this too. It should come as no surprise to us that there will be false apostles whose message is based on deceit, because we know that Satan transforms into an angel of light. In the end, we know them by their fruit. When we consider the people who claim to be of God, do we see the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Jesus warned of false prophets who outwardly appear to be followers of Christ, but who in reality have no concern for the spiritual well-being of others. We will know who is of God by the fruit they bear. If of God and Jesus Christ, they will bear fruit of the Spirit. If they are not of God and Jesus Christ, they will bear fruit of the flesh. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. We who are the faithful are of God and Jesus Christ, and we must walk in the Spirit and display the fruit of the Spirit in our own life. We are people like everyone else as a person. But of importance to us are those things which are spiritual, aligned to the teachings of the Bible. Others who are not of the faith are also people, but unlike us, they are not focused on that which is spiritual that points to the kingdom of God, but are focused on life today, what Paul calls the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit are contrasted for us by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Beware of those who claim to be of God, but only have a thin veneer of faith to cover their works of the flesh that is focused on getting them what they can get while the getting is good. We who are of God and Jesus Christ will be living a life reflective of the fruit of the Spirit. We will remain true to what is written in the Bible and will not delve into teachings that contradict the Bible or call into question the role of Jesus Christ in our salvation. We who are the faithful will not use the faith for personal gain. From Peter, we know many will follow these damnable heresies and deny Jesus Christ. How many is many? Many is more than just a few. Many could be as much as a majority or plurality, but the many who believe these damnable heresies who deny Jesus Christ are much more than just a few isolated, confused people. We who are of God in Jesus Christ will not merely jump aboard the bandwagon of damnable heresies because many are writing it. Our faith and understanding will be based on what is written in the Bible and linked to the understanding that is through Jesus Christ we have salvation. We also know that understanding what is written in the Bible can only come through the gift of the Holy Spirit and individual study. There are some who might tell us to read a certain amount each day. It's more important to understand what we are reading and to apply in our life what we have read, not looking to any person as the source of our understanding, but through faith and the Holy Spirit, looking to God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. Our spiritual loyalty, our faith, always remains grounded with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ. Beware of people who claim to be of God, who have something to sell you, or who otherwise make financial demands of you because they could be treating you as a source of income. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall be fooled by their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And though covetousness shall they be with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We should not have doubt when we see people leave the faith. It's an inherent part of humanity to want to learn and understand. And this means that sadly, some become bored with God's truth and look for some new teaching to stimulate them spiritually. Because there is only God's truth, these people have no choice but to leave the faith and will come to the point where they will believe what is made up instead of believing the truth. When we see people leave the truth, we need to remain grounded in the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. At all times, we need to remain strong and of good courage, knowing that Satan will try many different tricks to deceive the faithful. Jude reminds us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. Being a person of faith is a struggle, and each day we need to be diligent with the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit we've been given. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Through our calling, we have been given this incredible gift, which comes with forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin never was intended to be a license to sin. And those who believe that we have a license to sin through thought or action are the people who deny God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude reminds us that even though God delivered Israel from Egypt, God also took the lives of those that did not believe. He reminds us that the entities we know as demons were once angels who abandoned the faith. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Jude reminds us of the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, cities where the people became so engrossed in sex they would engage in any type of sex they could think of. In their own way, they sought destruction, and we are cautioned against speaking evil of others to governments and leaders as the same spirit is being exercised. What Judah is saying is all who speak evil of others, governments and leaders, are spiritually the same as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Jude gives us the example of Michael, an archangel who would not bring an accusation against Satan, instead asking God to provide the rebuke. When we rail against others, when we speak evil of others, we are no different than Cain who murdered his brother. We cannot allow this evil to be part of our life, as it brings a blemish to how we keep the holy days. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Do we want to be counted among the ungodly, or do we want to be counted among the faithful? Verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Jude reminds us that during the end time, there will be a proliferation of people who mock, who instead of hearing to the faith, choose to walk after their lusts. During this end time, we are given strategies of how to exercise our Christian faith as we live in this world of mockers, who despise God and live according to their lusts. For some, we will have compassion making a difference, and for others, we will save with fear as they are almost in the lake of fire. As we do this, we know it is through Jesus Christ we are saved, and through God the Father that comes glory and majesty, dominion and power forever. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves unto your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The calling we have been given is not for the weak or faint of heart. We have been called to be strong and of good courage in everything we do. Knowing we live in the end time, we know we will encounter many who will falsely claim to represent God the Father and Jesus Christ. We know to look to the fruit of the Spirit as our measuring stick. As for some, we will have compassion, and for others, we will save with fear, pulling them out of the lake of fire. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.